Blah!
Hey, welcome back. Glad you're back, man. How was the big golf trip that you had?
Very fun. Very fun. I'm golfed out officially. I'm taking 2 days to recover from the 4 days of which I just played golf. But very, very happy to be back for no other reason than, look, what is going on with you?
What do you mean, what's going on with me?
So when I went to Ohio...
Yes.
I mean, I'm sorry, when I went to Idaho...
Idaho, right.
I come back, and Lindsay's gone.
Yes.
Now I go to North Carolina, and the last thing you said to me before I left, you're the Clay, John, you're the Clay, Clay Helton. And I come back, and Clay Helton's gone. What, do you have like a voodoo doll in your freezer, and you're just knocking people off?
Has nobody realized when I say it's the year of somebody, it means they're doomed? I'm doing it on purpose. John, how many text messages did I send you last year during USC games where I said, fire Clay?
Yeah, I'm a little worried that you didn't send me any this year.
Well, it's because there was only two games.
Right. But last year you were doing it after every game.
Right, right. But the Stanford game, I actually said right away, it's over. Can't come back. By the way, you're a USC fan.
I'm not. I think this was, as much as we like Clay and he's a great guy, this was the right thing to do, don't you think?
No question about it. It was time. I mean, that game on Saturday night was just a slaughter. And for USC to not be competitive after in a year where they've got, by the way, they have more talent, they're just not coached up.
Well, you and I have talked a lot about the fact that there are very few, matter of fact, you can probably count them on your 10 fingers, jobs where you win or you're fired.
Yes.
And over the last few years, that has all gone away. Like, Clay was 4-7 one year, and they
Correct.
Didn't fire him. And you wonder with this Carol Folt and this Mike Bone, the new president and new athletic director, if they get it, you know, that USC was always one of those programs. Like, Notre Dame, win or you're fired. Ohio State, win or you're fired. Dodgers, win or you're fired. Lakers, win or you're fired.
Yep.
USC used to be one of those jobs, and I kind of liked that it was. You know, I kind of liked that they set their standard at the highest possible point. And at some point, over the past, I don't know, I wonder if Clay ever really should have gotten the gig.
Well, six years, right? It's been 6 years.
You know, because of like who's the guy that's coaching this year? Like, who's coaching now? Dante
Williams.
Okay. I don't know Dante Williams. From everything I hear, I was just reading a thing from my buddy Bruce Feldman that says he's really, like, done well being thrown into the fire.
Great recruiter, by the way. Right. Great recruiter.
Okay, Dante Williams should not be a candidate for the USC job. Well, wait a minute.
He's not a candidate.
That's what we said about Clay.
Yeah,
and they gave him the job.
This time is different. He's not a candidate, John.
Right, but I'm saying it better not be. If they better not, and they better not go out and bring in somebody that's never been a head coach before.
Oh, so you're not on the Bieniemy train.
No. Oh, God, no. I like Eric.
Eric
used to be at UCLA. I would take James Franklin in a heartbeat over Bieniemy, wouldn't you?
I think we got to go NFL guy over college guy.
Fine, but it's got to be somebody that's got cachet. Like Keyshawn says, it's got to be somebody with championship credentials. All right? And Clay
See,
was...
See, I like the idea of Bieniemy.
Okay, but Clay was the Bieniemy hire. He was the never been a head coach, but he's a great assistant. Great recruiter. He did great as the interim guy, you know, when they brought him in. And then he got in and he didn't fit the suit. USC's not a starter job. You can't give that job to Bieniemy.
But I mean, some of these guys that are getting trotted out, like Luke Fickell. I'm sure Luke Fickell's a wonderful
guy.
You
better be careful on that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Sure, he's a wonderful guy, but I don't think he's ready for USC. I don't think he's the guy for this job.
I agree.
And I know Mike Bone hired him before and all that stuff,
right.
But he should not be the guy.
I think they've got to go out and get a monster name. They got to go out and get a big name that has championship credentials. And I would make a few guys say no to me. You're going to think I'm crazy? I'd make Pete Carroll say no to me.
No way. Pete
okay,
Carroll's
but
never
make, make him say make him say no.
By the way, here's
by the
what
way Matt Rhule in Carolina make him say no.
Here's what somebody said in the show yesterday that I love. They said they don't want anybody who's even had dinner with Pete Carroll. We've had so many of these Pete Carroll guys. It's okay. Like, it's enough. The tree, cut down the tree.
What do you think of David Shaw?
Just bland. I don't think
not
David
enough.
Shaw's
not a, enough of a power punch.
Yeah, and it's been mediocre for the last 5 years.
Herm, does that do anything for you?
No, not at all. He's already gotten in trouble over there.
Okay, but I mean, you Mace, you got to think. Let's play a game.
Yeah.
Anyone you ask will consider it. Anyone alive will consider it. Okay. Yep. So then the first name you think of is Saban, but he's older.
Second name is probably Dabo.
Right. I think you call Dabo, make him say no. I think you call Mike Tomlin and make him say no. I think you call John Harbaugh and make him say no. If they all say no, so what? But that's the pool you got to be swimming in. You got to go out and shoot for the moon here. You call Sean McVay, make him say no. Of course he's going to, but make him say no. That's what you got to do. You got to go out there and shoot for the moon.
But some
Lane
of that stuff,
Sark,
John, it's just
so
stupidly
what?
Unrealistic.
But what difference does it make?
Well, what? Why bother? I guess it's the other side of the question. Dabo Sweeney's never leaving Clemson. Nick Saban's never leaving Alabama. John Harbaugh's got a quarterback who could be good for the next day. He's not leaving Baltimore. I mean, you can waste your time with some of this stuff.
No, in the 80s, when UCLA had a coaching opening, they went and offered it to Jim Valvano, and he said yes. And he had just won the title at NC State. Later, they offered it to John Calipari, and they got way down the road with him. It doesn't matter that you don't get him. What you do is you shoot for the moon. Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
They've decided not to use a search firm. Some people think search firms are, you know, just old school buddy-buddy, you know, and a waste of money because they're expensive. Here's the problem. A search firm, like when Les Miles got the job at Kansas,
right.
Remember he was coach at LSU, they didn't use a search firm, and the search firm would have run a background check that would have caught that sexual harassment stuff at LSU, and then Kansas had to fire him. The reason you use a search firm is just to cross your T's and dot your I's to make sure you're doing it. You don't have
thing.
To hire who they tell you to, but you got to get a full background check, don't you?
USC has always used a search firm, and look what we've gotten. I mean, by the way, the search firm
well,
didn't
that's because
pick up
that guy
Steve
from
Sarkeesian
Public Storage
was,
who just passed away would always tell you who to hire. Like, that was the whole Lynn Swan thing.
Right, but we did use a search firm,
and then
we still got Steve Sarkeesian, who had bought drinks for everybody in Seattle at some point, and we found that out later.
Would you take Sark back?
No.
Would you take Lane back?
No.
See, that was a softer no. Now I got you thinking
no.
about it.
Yeah, softer no.
Now
softer
I got
no.
you thinking about it.
Bit of a Pied Piper.
By the way, USC
PR.
Is a private university that is under no restrictions as to how much money they could go. Why wouldn't you offer Dabo to be the highest paid coach in the country and see if he takes it?
Yeah, see, I mean, some of those guys, John, I
don't
care.
Let's concentrate on Dabo.
Okay, yeah.
Dabo, Clemson lost already once this year. He's
yes.
done everything he can do at Clemson. Saban's not leaving. Dabo went to Alabama. You tell him you've got unlimited resources to hire your staff, so you'll pay top dollar for assistants. And Dabo's not that old. You have him come out here and rebuild USC. You got your next Pete Carroll.
Yeah, but I mean, someday
give him
$10
million a year. Give him the Saban
deal. Someday he's going to be coaching guys in Dabo Sweeney Stadium. I mean, those guys are like lifers. You're a lifer at some point.
Disagree. Saban, everybody thought that about Saban when he won the national championship at LSU. Instead, he went Michigan State, LSU, Miami Dolphins, Alabama.
Briefly with the Miami Dolphins.
Well, 1 year.
Ever so briefly.
Right, but I'm just saying.
Quit in season two.
Hey, Bergman, wouldn't you call Dabo and make him say no?
Absolutely. I would call every single one of those guys and do exactly what John's
sure,
saying.
Sure, call them all.
You should, because listen
call
to
Call Pete Carroll. Call every NFL coach. You, put them all
you,
on speed
well,
dial.
Well, no,
yes,
you, don't
you
want,
should. Because
you don't
look
want Cliff Kingsbury. Some of these NFL coaches suck.
Well, sure, call
think about
Pete.
It.
Call Sean McVay. Call. I mean, it's nonsense, but go ahead and do it.
Think about it at UCLA.
No harm in doing it.
UCLA, like John said, went and talked to John Calipari, went down the road, and they talked to a whole bunch of other guys, too. They were talking to Billy. to Billy Donovan and Rick Pitino and a whole bunch of other guys, even though it didn't work out, people are okay with Mick Cronin coming in. They're like, we'll give him a little bit of time.
I don't trust Bergman's appraisal of anything because 3 weeks ago he said he wanted Chip Kelly fired.
Every UCLA coach said, but let's think about this for real. Let's think about this realistically. Think about it realistically. This is year four for Chip Kelly. If he would have lost to Hawaii or if he would have gotten blown out by LSU, it would have been the same thing.
There's a difference between talking about Chip Kelly and talking about Clay Helton. USC football is the equivalent of UCLA basketball.
Correct.
In other words, USC football has always been win or you're fired.
Sure.
Nobody cares if UCLA football wins. They're not a football school.
No, but my point is that Greg Bergman's appraisal of Chip Kelly is he should have been fired
Greg
after
has wanted
last
every
year.
UCLA coach fired for the last 20
That's
years.
That's absolutely and not true and not, like a, does not go into this Greg, conversation at all. What does that have to do with this conversation?
Wait a minute, Greg.
What does that have to do with this conversation, John?
Greg, name a basketball coach before Mick Cronin that you didn't want fired.
I did not want Ben Howland fired.
What?
I did not want Ben Howland fired.
I wanted Ben Howland fired.
Everybody
I mean,
wanted
later
ben
on,
Howland
like
fired.
At that last year, it was more of just it was time for him to go. It wasn't that I wanted him fired.
Did you want Lavin fired?
I did. Well, he was terrible.
Did you want Alford fired?
Alford was terrible.
Okay.
I'm not alone on those things.
Did you want
until he was
done? Did you want Carl Durrell fired?
Carl Durrell was an awful head coach.
Did you want Neuheisel fired?
Neuheisel was awful. I love Mora. I loved Jim Mora.
So did you want Jim Mora fired?
I was okay when he left. I did not want him fired. Look, but we also have a standard of excellence here. Why are the what is this that you're trying to even do here?
No, you've come back around to my point, Mace. Comparing UCLA football to USC football is the problem for USC. They've never done that. They've always compared USC to Alabama and Notre Dame and Ohio State.
And that's who they need to compare them to. I just think some of this pie in the sky stuff is pie in the sky.
Yeah, but what does it hurt? Ask, make them say no.
And it makes the fan base be okay with it, whoever
and
you hire.
Call Mace, Bill Belichick. Call Mace, Andy Reid. Call Sean Payton. Call John Harbaugh. Call Bruce Arians. Them all.
I think you can get John Harbaugh.
I don't think so.
John Harbaugh has been a coach in Baltimore for like 20 years. That guy's ready for something new, and he's not that old, and he's a good coach.
Oh, he's a great coach. I mean, if you could get John Harbaugh, that's a home run hire. I mean, call them all. I don't care. I just think there's a level of you started out with James Franklin. I don't think James Franklin is a big enough name for USC. He's
maybe
a wonderful,
not.
Wonderful
maybe
program
not.
Builder, and he's charismatic and all that stuff would be great with donors and boosters and all those guys. But, I mean, is he going to move the needle at USC? No right. matter who it is, it's going to get savaged the day they're announced.
USC is the easiest place to recruit. It's the easiest place to be successful as a head coach as long as you have some competency to you.
Well,
that's
don't be surprised if USC goes out there this weekend and just boat races.
Oh, Washington. I think they're going to.
Because they've got the issue is, and Mace, this is why it's become complicated. The athletes at USC are so good that it got Coach O considered for the head coaching job. It got Clay Helton the job.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold got Clay Helton that job. And now you say this Dante Williams isn't a candidate. What if they run the table with those athletes? I would hope not. But that's what they did with Clay.
I think he'll be on the next staff.
That's what they did with Clay, though. Clay had that great year and had that great win over Penn State in the Rose Bowl, and they gave him the job.
But Dante Williams has done most of the recruiting, so to hold that class together for next year, he's a guy who will stay on as a recruiter slash associate head coach or whatever that happens to be with the next head coach. Dante Williams, run the table, go to the Rose Bowl, all that stuff, still not the head coach of USC next year. Still not. So,
hey, Dodgers are off today, right?
Dodgers are off.
Hey, Bergman, I got a job for
you. Giants are playing right now.
No, it's a good job. You'll like it.
Okay.
I want you to keep an eye. It just started.
Oh, it just started. The
I want you to keep an eye on the Giant game. And, Jorge, anytime there is a development in the Giant game, I want you to sound the emergency horn because we need to keep people up to date on that game. If the Giants lose, if the Padres beat the Giants, Mace, the lead is one game
exactly.
In the National League West.
I'll tell you something funny about that coming up. We'll talk a little Dodgers. Plus, John, I don't know if you've heard. You've been gone. I don't think you know about this. $1 Million Mondays are here starting Monday.
What, did you? You're going to give away $1 million?
Here's the deal. Every Monday on all the shows, you get a chance to win Rams tickets. And If you do, you get a shot at $1 million. Every winner.
Where did we get $1 million?
Well, here's the deal. Every winner will give us their prediction of the two Super Bowl teams and the final score, and if you nail that, you get $1 million.
You got to get both the teams and the score.
Correct. Both teams and the score and win $1 million.
Piece of cake. Are we eligible? Can you and I enter?
I've got Rams 23, Chiefs 17. How about that?
Too low. Too low scoring.
You think that's too low?
You may have the right teams, but you're too low scoring.
All right. Coming up next, I got something to play for you, John. Plus, we'll talk a little Dodgers and something you missed, a devastating loss in Mythical Money. Do you know about it?
No. I thought you'd been winning in Mythical Money.
I will tell you about it next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So last Friday out at Black Gold, Ireland's back, by the way. Last Friday out at Black Gold, you and I both made bets on Scott Kaplan to win the push-up contest between him and George Sedano.
Right.
Final score, Scott Kaplan, 44.
43.
George,
don't
43,
give him extra.
Sorry. George Sedano, 49. Sedano won.
I am shocked by that.
You had bet $10,000 mythical dollars. I had bet $20,000 mythical dollars on Scott Kaplan.
John put 15. John put 15. So the scores are: Mason, you have 81,000. John has 74,500. I have 95. And Jorge, who hasn't bet yet, still has 100,000.
Yeah, Jorge, when are you going to start betting?
Make some bets, you cheapskate.
On the Niners. All season long.
All season long on the Niners.
That should be against – you can't work at our station and be betting on the Niners.
And by the way, you need a survivor pick for this week too, Jorge. Okay. We gave you the Niners last week, so you need to pick one winner for this week.
Did everybody survive last week?
Everybody except Juan, who apparently had some –
oh, the system.
Some kind of goofy system that once again failed him. I honestly thought it was alphabetical. Oh. I thought it was – Bills come first before any other team in alphabetical order. So I thought it was that. He says it was something else, but he's the only one out. Everybody else survived. My mom is on New Orleans this week, and Leo is on the Rams.
I'm on Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay.
My mom and Michael are both on Cleveland.
I'm on Cleveland, too.
And I'm on Green Bay.
Ooh.
Green
After
Bay
their
over the
38-3 pasting at the hands of the Saints?
Give me Green Bay over Jared Goff. I like my odds. So Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks last night. Julio Urias, by the way, 18-3. Kenley Jansen, 33rd save, 11 of his last 11. John, has Kenley Jansen returned to the status of elite closer?
I don't know how you can't say yes to that. I mean, I still get nervous when he comes. Bergman, do you still get nervous when he comes in?
A little bit. I feel a little bit better about it right now.
You know, struck out the side last night.
It was beautiful pitching.
Facts are facts. You know, at some point you have to face the music. And I think he has proven that. I think he's going to be their closer in the postseason.
I do too.
And I think if we get in this one game playoff, which is still very possible, and the game's on the line late, he's who they're giving the ball to. So I think we got to ride with him.
Yeah,
I think he's our guy.
He is our guy. He is the right guy. I'm concerned a little about Trinan, who hasn't pitched well of late, our eighth inning guy. But the bullpen deserves a lot of credit. I mean, who was Alex Vesia?
Great. Vesia?
Who was Phil Bickford? I mean, who were these guys that all of a sudden have emerged as really important players in the bullpen? Those are guys that Andrew Friedman, the scavenger, went out and found.
I was gone for 6 days. Did Bellinger get a hit?
Yeah, he's actually on Greg, if I'm not mistaken, he's on a three-game hitting streak.
It is a three-game Woo-hoo! Hitting streak. Two doubles and a single last night. It was kind of a weak single.
The single last night was a dink. But
yeah, it really was.
It really was a dink. It was barrels are overrated kind of single. But
he's being a little bit more patient, though. He's taking more walks. Although when he does swing hard, he's just popping up and he's not making it out of the infield.
Yeah. You know what's funny, John? Yesterday, we actually talked about this with callers, too. Are you resigned to being in the one-gamer?
I was sort of
leaning that way, like, oh, the Giants. Okay, I don't think we can catch the Giants. So it's like George Costanza opposite day.
Right.
I went.
You're
I don't
willing,
think
you're
we
trying
can
to
catch
will it
him
to happen. Because, well, you are losing at everything. I destroyed you in fantasy.
You beat me. You beat me.
I beat you like 84-60.
Yeah, 84-63. And my last place, Mace, again?
Oh, yeah. I mean, matter of fact, I think if you go by the standings, you get first pick on the waiver.
I do, and I got a good one, too. I got a good one.
Are you taking that running back for the Niners?
Couldn't get him. I got the Sterling Shepard, the guy who had the big day as a receiver. I was fifth out of six in DraftKings on top of everything else. Kellerman won DraftKings this week. Marcellus Wiley was second.
You should seriously consider taking a year off of fantasy sports.
Absolutely not. Fantasy is my life, 24/7.
Hey, how was the Ram game with fans?
Oh, God.
I haven't seen you since then.
Ireland, I got to tell you, it is such a beautiful place. It is all right, so spectacular.
Are the fans wearing masks or no?
They're supposed to.
Are
I'll
they?
Just say that. They're supposed okay. to. Not a lot of mask compliance,
okay.
But everybody's supposed to be wearing a mask. And I did for much of the time, although I did pretend I was eating and drinking a lot.
Well, you were.
I was eating and drinking a lot. So, but John, it was such a great night. And the scoreboard, I don't think I can ever go to another stadium and look at that scoreboard in the end zone and think
now,
that's
they call
really
it,
cool.
They changed the name of it. What do we call it now?
The Infinity Board. The Infinity okay. Board. And it really is infinite. I mean, no matter where you look, you're looking at the field, you glance up, and there it is. It's right there in front of you. What are you playing in the background there, Jorge?
That's for the Infinity Board.
Remember oh, for the Infinity Board. Yeah. So, Ireland, I asked people to see if they could come up with a Rams anthem. And here is what we stumbled on. I want to get your thoughts. We played it for McVay yesterday. Jorge, do you have it ready to go? Get your Ram hands up. Is done by a special ed teacher down in San Diego who has never done anything like this, he absolutely nails it. His name is David Common. Now listen.
Okay.
Now that's
this is a news out of San Francisco.
Okay.
Top of the second, two out. San Diego just scored. It's 1-0. First and second with two outs.
Let's go. Let's go, Padres. Let's go, chippy
little
Padres. All right, 1-0 in the second, and we'll take it. All right, so let me
here we go, Ireland. Get your Ram hands up. Listen to this. Put your Ram hands up.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's really good.
I was looking for every reason to make fun of it. You can't. It's great.
Yeah, it is great, and I love it.
What did McVay think?
McVay loved it. He was all about it, man. He was all about it.
One of our listeners just created that?
Yeah, David Common. He's a special ed teacher in San Diego.
Well, first of all, God bless that guy for being a special ed teacher. Those guys are God's people.
Yep.
That are helping out the special needs kids.
Oh, and by the way, I'm giving credit to the wrong guy. I was looking at an email. It's Jeremiah Witten, who is a San Diego special ed teacher.
Okay,
I don't know who the other guy is.
All right, you just pulled up that name out of nowhere.
Pulled up that name,
so Jeremiah Witten is our new favorite listener.
Yeah.
That Jeremiah, man, way to go.
Yep, nailed it.
Now, Jorge, check your email. I just sent you something. You don't even need to edit it. You can just play it.
Okay.
I want to nominate this, Mace. In the 80s, may have even been late 70s, Jim Hill's brother, David Hill,
right,
was a tight end for the Rams.
Sure.
Okay, and the Rams, those were all those teams with Vince Ferragamo and Pat Hayden that all, you know, would go to the NFC Championship game every year. So you remember the Bears came out with the Super Bowl shuffle?
Super Bowl shuffle, yeah.
Okay. So the Rams, in an effort to kind of cash in on that market, came up with this. Hit it, Jorge. Ram it!
I do not like this.
Come on, Mace, ram it!
Wasn't this like 79?
Yeah.
The year they went to the Super Bowl.
Yep. After they did, you know, the Bears did the Super Bowl shuffle, so they did this. And it's all these guys you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
they all start rapping.
Yeah, they play the video sometimes at, now at SoFi, but previously at the Coliseum.
Yeah.
Boy, how good did Matthew Stafford look? How good did he look? Named NFC player, offensive player.
Hey, turn the rap up, Jorge. Come on.
That's Fred Dreyer.
Come on, man.
That's
Ram it. Let's bring Ram it back.
That's Vince Ferragamo right there. Oh, there's Pat Hayden. Same team. That sounds like Pat. That's Ray Malavasi.
That is not Ray Malavasi.
That's Ray Malavasi rapping.
I think Jeremiah's song is much better than Ram It.
I do, too. That one feels dated.
By the way, Giants got out of it. So 1-0 Padres, middle of the second.
We love, you know, John, the Padres are going to help decide who wins the National League West. We got 3 against them, and the Giants have 6 more against the Padres.
And they need to win. Padres,
yeah,
did you see who we might end up playing again? Those stupid Cardinals.
Yeah, I hate the Cardinals. Play the game the right way. And Adam Wainwright, potentially, who just blanked us a couple of weeks ago in that series in St. Louis. So, yeah, I would rather not play. I think the Reds are my consensus choice to be the team that we would have to play in a one-gamer. That would be my preferred opponent. And, by the way, we're in Cincinnati this weekend, and the Giants are playing the Braves. So we need the Braves to really nail it this weekend.
If we get the Padres to win this game, it's one game going into the weekend. And by the end of the weekend, the Dodgers could be in first place.
All right, coming up next for you, Wheel of Questions. And let me tell you right now, 2 o'clock, Matthew Berry, talented Mr. Roto, will do a round of this or that. So think up your fantasy football questions and be ready to call. You can also tweet us at Venice Mace, at LA Ireland. You can email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. And then at 3:15, it's gambling season, and the Fez will join us at 3:15. Mace in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So that's the thing about Ray Malavasi, who was the head coach of the Rams in 79. Sure, he got us a soup. Also a great rapper. He is an excellent rapper.
You know, one of the things Ray Malavasi is famous for.
Oh, yeah.
Is he used to do a coach's show on the radio like we do with McVay.
Yep.
But he did it in the mornings. And one time he fell asleep during the – was that with us or with somebody else?
No, somebody else. I don't know who it was.
Yeah, we weren't on the radio.
We weren't on the air in 79.
Well, he coached past that, but we weren't on the air even in 85.
You know,
which is the next time they made it to the Super Bowl, when John Robinson was the coach.
Yeah, no, he did not fall asleep on us, but he did
fall
asleep on somebody. It is time right now to spin the Wheel of Questions, and the Wheel of Questions is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around not being used? Bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. Jorge, let's spin the wheel. Jono, your
this
question
is good.
Today.
Okay. Now, I want you to think about it. Don't just blurt out an answer. Think about this. You're reading a book.
Okay.
Only to discover that it's a book about your life.
Ooh.
Do you continue to read knowing that you'll know every aspect of your life, including what happens after today? Bergman, do you keep reading? In other words, the question within the question here is, do you want to know
your future?
Or do you want to know when you're going to, how much time you have left?
Absolutely not. I close that book immediately. I have no interest in knowing anything that's going to happen after today.
All right, Mace. Do you keep, or Jorge, you go first. Jorge, do you keep reading knowing that you will then find out everything that happens to you from this day forward?
No way. I'm with Greg on this one. I don't want to know what happens tomorrow. I don't.
Mace?
I close it.
So is this a biography?
Yes.
So somebody else wrote this book about me.
Correct. But it's accurate. Let's assume for the sake of the question it's accurate, and it will tell you in detail not only everything that's happened prior to today, but everything that happens after.
Will it let me know what everybody else said about me as I went through my life?
I would think that might be part of it.
I want to know. I want to know what everybody has said about me heretofore. I want to know who liked me, who didn't, who thought I was insufferable, who absolutely thought I was the greatest gift from God.
I want all of that stuff. Do you stop reading when you get to today?
Hell no, I want to know what happens. I want to see how the book ends.
I think you and Jorge are idiots. If you know how much, what if you're, Bergman, what if your time's up in a week? You don't want to spend the next week working. You don't want to spend the next week going through your daily humdrum life. You want to get out there and do a bucket list. It would be a tremendous advantage to know when you're going
to
go.
Yeah, I liked it to be all a surprise. I don't need to know what, even if I am going to go in a week, whatever I do for the next week is what I do for the next week. I don't need to know what's going to happen to
me.
Wait
a minute, you could go to the Aurora Borealis. You could do something big.
You know, that's not cheap either to do, but
you
sure.
Wouldn't know, you could, you, by the way, you would be dead in a week. You can spend everything you got.
Games you went to in the future, you would know the final score on, and you would be able to wager on them.
Yeah, you could. By the way, you would know if your favorite. You would know if the.
You're also going to know terrible things that are going to happen. Like, what if you get hit by a car and break a leg?
Then you can sort of try to
know if it's
going to
happen. It's all going to happen.
No, but Mace, you could plan for it. Like, if you know what day you're going to get hit by a car, you could like. You don't want to be going on a vacation after that. You want to get it in before you get hit
exactly.
by the car.
Part of the great thing about life is
the world.
Surprise.
I want to spend time with loved
Greg,
ones.
Greg, information is power, and this would provide you with a tremendous amount of information.
Yeah, about myself. That no, I'm happy with the way things are going. Jorge's with me. You're with me, right?
I'm with you 100%, man.
Wait, let's throw that out there. So would you want to read the book that tells you what's going to happen for the rest of your life, including – when you die and how you die? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. That is a good question. I like that question.
All right, so yeah, would you want to know, or would you want to just be surprised?
Yep. Our friend Frank Caliendo. John, were you excited about the Raiders win?
That was one of the best Monday night games in 10 years, didn't you think?
Really
did you actually watch it?
Yeah, I did. I had traveled down to I watched it here.
The Raiders,
flipping back and forth.
The Raiders tried
to
give it away twice. And you know, Frank does great, great impersonations of certain people, and one of them is John Gruden. But Mace, before we play this,
yep.
What did I say when you asked me what my prediction for the Raiders was last week?
Oh God.
What did
you
say?
Say it every year. You say it every
what
year.
What did I say?
17-0.
Okay. So You poo-pooed it just like you are now.
I did.
You dismissed it.
I still dismiss it.
It may mean nothing
it
coming
does.
From me, who jumps on and off the bandwagon fairly regularly.
Correct.
But what about when it comes from Chucky? Here's Frank Caliendo as Gruden. How about that? 17-0. Are you on board, Mace?
I am not on board,
Come
John.
Come on, man.
In fact, I think we talked way too much Raiders this week. I heard from a lot of Rams fans. They're like, enough with the Raiders. They're in Vegas. They're in
yeah,
Vegas.
Yeah, but the Raiders are still the most popular team in Los Angeles.
Right. Those
Blah.
Three people on Twitter that told you that
Blah.
We were talking too much Raiders.
Yeah, and by the way, Mace, the way we know this is in the preseason and even during the regular season, if a Raider game's on, a Ram game's on, and a Chargers game's on, the Raiders always have the highest rating.
No, this last week, Rams had a higher rating than the Raiders on Monday. Fact.
Wait,
facts.
Wait a minute, though. They weren't Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, and they got a higher rating.
No, but that's an unfair
comp. Than the Raiders got on Monday Night Football, which was on ABC.
No, it was on ESPN.
It was on ABC, too.
In Los Angeles, maybe.
No, everywhere. It was a nationally televised game on ABC.
Incorrect. In North Carolina,
100%. 100%.
All right, want to bet me $100,000 in mythical money?
No, I don't want to bet that.
Ooh, I like it. Do it.
But how could the game only be on ABC in Los Angeles? That makes no sense.
No, here's how it works. It's nationally televised on ESPN, and if you're in one of the home markets, the ABC affiliate has the right to pick it up. So the Raiders, because they're in Los Angeles is right next to Las Vegas, they're considered a home market, then Channel 7 had the right to pick it up. The Rams are on Sunday Night Football, which is the highest rated show. What we need to compare is when they're on at the exact same time, like maybe it'll happen this week. Where are the Rams?
Rams are, we're at the early game. We're the early window.
So the Raiders are in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh, so they'll go head-to-head.
Head-to-head, and let's see. I can get those numbers on Monday.
Okay, good.
And you'll see, the Raiders are always higher rated.
Yeah. Are you off of Derek Carr the way Momo's off of Derek Carr? She's like, yeah, he's not accurate. He doesn't, John Gruden doesn't love him. Are you off of Derek Carr?
No, I like Derek Carr. I've always liked him.
Yeah. Why does Gruden not love him?
Gruden's
every year, I'm going to replace him. I'm going to find somebody else.
They were trying to trade for Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson. It seems that Gruden always thinks he can do better. He was this way when he was in Tampa, too.
Yeah.
But I'm totally happy with Derek Carr.
I wanted to ask you one more thing here before we go to break. One of the questions we had this week, and we asked McVay about this yesterday. This was Wheeler Questions question.
Yeah.
What was your first car, and do you have any emotional attachment to it?
No. My first car was a Ford Mustang II. Remember the Mustang II?
The Mustang II!
And I wrecked it, so I have zero.
What were the details of the accident? Was it your fault?
Yep, fell asleep at the wheel. One car accident.
No way.
Yeah, I was lucky to survive it.
Wow.
And but it totaled the car, but
didn't total you.
Correct, and didn't involve anyone else. Which
well, that's a relief.
Yeah.
That's a relief. All right, coming up next for you, last night was Fernando Valenzuela bobblehead night at Dodger Stadium, and it was raised during the game, and I want to raise it here, whether or not Fernando's number should be retired. That's coming up next for you. Then don't forget, 2 o'clock, Matthew Berry, the talented Mr. Roto, 877-710-ESPN, this or that. Should I play this guy? Should I play that guy?
He's going to be
with us every single Thursday.
It's my lie today, right?
Correct.
Okay, are we doing lie of the day today?
Yeah, we're doing lie of the day.
Oh, get out of here. Get out of here. Home run, Padres.
Nice.
Tatis, gone.
Way
to go. 2-0. 2-0.
So 2-0. It's so weird to root for Fernando Tatis right now.
Yeah, go Tatis.
It doesn't feel
Tatis.
Right.
Go
but
Tatis.
It is good.
All right, Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Wait a minute. Who was the head coach when we went to the Super Bowl in 1979? Morales is trying to – he's got a red pencil out. He's trying to grade us.
I don't know when they recorded Ram It. My guess is it was later than that, though, because I thought it was in response to the Super Bowl shuffle song, and that was the 85 Bears.
You're right, John. Someone called and said that Ram It song came out in 1986, the year after the Bears
right.
won in 85.
Right.
Oh, so they were competing. So who was the head coach when we went to the Super Bowl?
John Robinson. Oh, when we went to the Super Bowl.
1979 was Ray Malvasi.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Ray Malvasi.
All right.
Okay, I wanted to throw something out here. I got an email, and you can always email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. Packer fan Skip Lampman. I've lived here for 33. First of all, he says he hates that I'm a homer. He says it drives him crazy being a listener. He says, I've lived here for 33 years. I'm so sick of L.A. fans thinking they have the best fans. I've been on the season ticket waiting list with the Packers since 1997 with the opportunity to buy season tickets. It will probably never happen in my lifetime. L.A. fans are so fickle, and I've heard all the excuses, including there's so much to do out there. It's amazing that with 16 million people in Southern California, you can't tell me there are 100,000 dedicated fans who fill a stadium every week. He says, wake me up when the Rams win a championship. We have 13 of them. Good luck catching that one. I'll be listening. Take care. That is Packer fan Skip Lampin. So the first point I would say to him is, it's not an act. Like, and John, you know this, I live and love these teams.
Yeah, and in the case of the Rams, you've spent a fortune.
Yeah, spent a lot of money to be there and to be part of it. Dodgers, I've chased all around the country. Lakers, I was their pregame guy for you know, a few years and was there for Game 7, was there for Kobe Bryant's final game. I mean, I'm a genuine fan of all these teams. USC, 10 years I did the pregame show for USC. I owned the movie theaters at USC for 24 years. I mean, these are my teams. So it's not an act. I'm not, like, faking it up the way Skip Lampman has suggested. And I would argue that this new stadium is kind of a game changer, John. I really think, and the one thing I didn't mention to you earlier, it is loud because it has a roof. You can see through it. Because it has a roof, it is loud in there. And it was loud in there in that opening game against the Bears on Sunday night. It does change the dynamics a lot. You know, we saw Andy Dalton call a couple of timeouts just because it got too loud.
Yeah, and let me correct one other thing. You were right. Monday Night Football did air on ESPN and ABC. What I can't figure out is if that was just for the opener or if that's going to be all season.
I just read an article. It was just for the opener.
Okay. So, but for Monday night, that was aired on both.
I should have bet you $100,000 mythical dollars.
Yeah, but you see, whenever I throw a big number out, you get nervous.
Oh, I get really nervous. I'm like, maybe.
And by the way, I don't even have $100,000. I only have 74, right, Greg?
Yeah, you would have been negative.
I would have been
great.
I would have been like on Jeopardy. Is there anything worse than like when you watch Jeopardy and somebody has a minus in front of their total?
Oh, that's so embarrassing.
That means that they've just, blown
so
it apart.
All right, so last night, Fernando Valenzuela bobblehead night. I apologize, Jorge. I said we were going to do Mason takes fan to local baseball game. And you would have, of course, been part of that. So I dropped the ball on that. It's been a crazy period of time. But the question got bounced around last night that Fernando Valenzuela's number 34 should be retired by the Dodgers.
Can I admit something?
Yeah.
I thought it already was.
Yeah, no, they only retire the numbers of Hall of Famers. That's the Dodgers tradition.
That's the Lakers policy, too.
So shouldn't they make an exception for Fernando Valenzuela?
Yes.
I mean, he was a phenomenon in this
town.
But
the problem is you could argue make an exception
for
a
Steve
lot of
Garvey.
Guys.
Like, you can, yeah.
Right. Like, for example, for years, people have said Michael Cooper's jersey should be retired, and the Lakers just haven't done it because now Coop's eventually going to get into the Hall of Fame. And when he does, same thing with Pau Gasol, I think those numbers go up. But you have to draw the line somewhere, so I understand what the Dodgers are doing. But Fernando, I think, eclipses Garvey. He was not just a baseball phenomenon. He was a cultural phenomenon. And for that reason, I would think that you might want to make an exception there. But if you make the exception for him, there's going to be other people that aren't in the Hall of Fame that you would think you got to make the exception for. So you have to have some standard. You know what I mean?
Jorge, what do you think?
I'm with John. Even my dad was saying this. Look, he turns 50 today, by the way. Happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday, Dad.
Mr. Briones.
Yeah, no. Start. Yeah, yeah. But then, I think he should be in because
Come on, Crenshaw.
That's his dad.
So I think he should be in because of the Fernando mania, just the cultural icon that he became here in L.A. But I'm with John. If you're not part of that, there's going to be a lot of other people that are going to say, well, if Fernando got in, why can't I get in? Why can't I
so
get in?
So you actually think that unless Fernando is inducted as part of the veterans
committee. But he is going to make it, right? I mean,
No. He didn't make it. The only way he can get in now
is the veterans
committee. I would argue he could get in as part of the veterans committee because of what he did. Like in basketball, if you're the best player from a foreign country, you're in. Like Powell's going to get in because of that.
Even Marc Gasol is going to get in.
And has there ever been a better Major League Baseball player from Mexico than Fernando? Somebody will
tell
us.
Not that I can think of.
I can't think of.
What do you think, Jorge?
No, I don't think so. Uh-uh.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a lot of great Dominican players and Venezuelan players. And
it was cool that Julio Urias pitched last night, too.
It was.
By the way, did you guys see that Urias, Scherzer, and Buehler have the three top winning percentages of all pitchers in baseball, and that's only happened one time in baseball history in the 100-plus years in baseball where one team has had the three pitchers with the highest winning percentage with a minimum of 10 decisions. But if the season keeps going like it's going, those three guys are going to be 1-2-3 and win. Right now it's Urias 1, Scherzer 2, Buehler 3, or maybe Buehler 2, Scherzer 3, but they've got all three. They've got the top three.
It looks like Julio has a chance to win 20 games. 20-game winners don't happen very often.
He's already
anymore.
Got 18.
Yeah, he's got 18. So,
by the way, did you see that Scherzer is now the odds-on favorite in Vegas?
Yeah,
the
John, I have to admit something. And Bergman,
did you come around?
I'm admitting it for Bergman. When we watched Max Scherzer take a perfecto into the eighth inning.
You came over to my side?
Yeah, I think Scherzer's got to be the starter in a one-game playoff.
Yeah, he's right. He should be.
Yeah. I knew you guys would get there. You just need a little more time than everyone else.
So disappointing to be wrong. I hate being wrong.
Yeah, but you know what? You took new information and you made an informed decision. So I applaud you both for it.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. So I want to make some time here because fantasy football is so, so all-consuming. I don't know anybody, except for Greg Bergman, who's not playing fantasy football. And Bergman, why are you not playing it?
It was too much. It got to be too much. I was losing my mind. At one point, I had 6 football teams. I had a baseball team. I had 2 basketball teams. I was playing, like, auto racing fantasy, golf fantasy.
Well, I mean, some of that stuff is just stupid.
Well, yes, it is. I was playing hockey. It just got to be too much. It was taking over too much of my life.
If you're going to play one, play football.
Yeah, but I burned myself out.
I just got a text from someone who knows Dodgers history.
Yeah.
As it turns out, just circling, come back to your fantasy thing because I think it's a good topic, but Jim Gilliam's number is retired and he is not in the Hall of Fame. Here's the background on it. Gilliam suffered a brain hemorrhage at his home in September of 1978 and following surgery, lapsed into a coma from which he did not recover. He died in Inglewood 9 days before his 50th birthday, one day after the Dodgers clinched their 10th pennant in 1978. His number 19 was then retired by the Dodgers 2 days after his death. Prior to game 1 of the 78 World Series, his number is the only one retired by the Dodgers of a player not in the Hall of Fame. So there would be precedent to retire Fernando's number if they wanted to do it.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, if there was ever a guy. Because his reach went well beyond just him as a pitcher. I mean, he had his own mania. You know, not a lot of people get their own mania. Fernando did.
Yeah, I would have no problem if they put him in, if they retired his number.
So did you see how – so we were talking about fantasy football. We're going to do this every Tuesday. And Matthew Berry is an unbelievably limited resource. We are really lucky to have him.
We're going
to
do it every Thursday, right?
I'm sorry, every Thursday. And we're going to give you a chance right now to call in 877-710-ESPN. Here's the deal. You either got one guy you want to play or another guy. Like for me, it's T. Higgins or George Kittle. Which guy do I want to play as a receiver? That's going to be my question for Matthew.
Wow, that's
what is
hard.
Your dilemma? What is your dilemma? 877-710-ESPN. You can also tweet us at Venice Mace, M-A-S-E, at L-A Ireland. And you can email the show anytime, venicemace@gmail.com. The talented Mr. Roto is next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.